Hey, we actually have a theme today. We don't do that often, but I got it going today. It's nature theme, and we have Ed Cohn starting us off with Nature's Cool, one of my favorite songs. Oh, I love this song. He has two songs called Six and Nature's Cool that I love. Unfortunately, Ed died very young, and it's very sad because I think of all the songs that he would have written that he didn't have a chance to. And Daniel Pinkwater is also talking about hiking. And why don't we start our nature show off with Harry talking about that beautiful walk that you had the other day you were telling me about.
Oh, Steve, it's so beautiful now. It's so wonderful. I love to take a walk in the woods.
Yeah, why don't you tell us about that? I'm interested in hearing about it.
Okay, Steve. Spring has sprung. What a beautiful day for taking a walk in nature.
Listen to the birds chirping in the trees.
And hear the trees swaying in the breeze.
To and fro they sway. How beautiful.
Hark! Hear the sound of a distant waterfall. And as we walk down a quaint country path, we can begin to hear the water cascading down the mountain into the stream below. Why don't we stop and drink from a clear mountain stream? But I hope the water isn't polluted, or there could be disastrous results. Suddenly, off in the distance, we hear an owl. And as we walk further on, we stumble upon the dreaded and dangerous mountain lion. The lion attacks. Quick, get under cover. We hide behind a tree. We'll be safe here. Uh-oh. We can see from behind our safe haven a man tied to a stake. Horrible things are being done to him. We have to get out of the woods. We grab the next subway train passing through. And getting off at the nearest stop, we head home. What a lovely walk through the woods we had today. Ah, yes, spring has indeed sprung.
I got a hummingbird living in my garden. Visits the feeder each day. He sips some sugar water, then he up and flies away. He got a bright green back and a throat so red, and he never ever makes a sound. And he hovers like a helicopter hovers when it hovers just a few feet off the ground. Oh, nature's cool. Nature's cool. We don't know nothing, but still it ain't no fool. Nature's cool. Nature's cool. It just naturally knows how to live by the rules. All the elephant seal can dive as deep as those old Grand Canyon walls. He can stay beneath the foam for 2 hours at a time, that's all. And when he falls asleep underwater, you know his heartbeat slows down to four. He comes up for air every now and again without missing a single snore. Oh, nature's cool. Nature's cool. Don't know nothing, but still it ain't no fool. Nature's cool. Nature's cool. He just naturally knows how to live by the rules. All the crab spider lives in the flower, where he waits for room service, it's true. He Cause if you can't move as fast as your dinner, you know you wait for it to come to you. And the Margate cat that lives in the trees can run up them swiftly as down. And he can change directions in the middle by just turning his ankles around. Oh, nature's cool. In the deep, dark depths of the ocean, where it's difficult to locate a mate, lives a tiny deep sea anglerfish. He's small, but has what it takes. And when the male finally finds a lover, he's afraid he'll never find her again. So he attaches his body right to her till he's absorbed by her in the end. Oh, nature's cool. Nature's cool. Don't know nothing, but still it ain't no fool. Nature's cool. Nature's cool. It just naturally knows how to live by the rules. Nature's cool. Nature's cool. Nature's cool. Nature's cool.
I just realized that you're made of wood, aren't you, huh?
That's right.
It's interesting. How do you sleep?
Like a log.
Hmm.
Of course, sometimes it's only my leg that falls asleep.
Yeah, does your leg sleep like a log, too?
Nah, my leg sleeps like a branch, and my toes sleep like twigs.
That makes sense.
Really? Could have fooled me.
How do you know if something made of wood is sleeping like a log, or if it's just dead?
Oh, you mean like the tree in our backyard?
Yeah.
That tree is dead.
That's too bad.
I know. It was a friend of mine. And you're so cold-hearted, you haven't even given it a decent funeral yet.
What do you mean a funeral? It's a tree.
So? Still deserves a proper burial? If one of your friends died, I'd make sure he didn't stand out in the backyard for months rotting away.
That's disgusting.
No more disgusting than what you're doing to my old pal.
But you can't bury a tree.
Says you. If you had any respect at all, you'd go home right after this program and start digging a grave. You bury your pets, don't you?
Well, yeah.
So what's the difference?
But the grave will have to be like 75 feet long.
So? You're young? We'll give the tree a service and lower it in.
What about a coffin?
That's a good point. We can make a coffin out of the tree.
He'll be his own coffin?
Sure.
The whole thing is stupid. It's a tree, for Pete's sake.
It was my friend!
What kind of ceremony? Christian, Jewish, Hindu, Buddhist? What is a tree, anyway?
Well, he wasn't very religious. Keep it eclectic. Mention what a nice tree it was, loved by the surrounding bushes. How it worked hard to give us shade in the summer. It led its life uncomplaining. It was a good tree.
All trees are good.
You wouldn't have said that if it fell on you.
All right. We'll go home. We'll start digging a 75-foot grave. The things I do for you and your friends, Harry.
Hey, you want to show some respect there?
Yeah, that'll get your attention. Patreon.com/Steve Charney is where you want to go if you want to support this program, Conversations with My Dummy. We'd be happy to take a little bit of money from you. Yes, we would. Right, Harry?
Oh, yeah, we sure would.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. No more, no less. But I'm serious about it.
Memories, memories, sweet and pure and clear. Memories ringing in my ear.
But maybe we'll go on a picnic out into nature after the show.
You're kidding, right? Have you been reading the articles lately?
Articles about what?
Insects, man, insects! I'm not going to spend any time out in an open field between the mosquitoes and the ticks and the gypsy moths. Forget it! Someone can get very, very sick out there.
You're right, Harry. We'll just bring along some insect repellent and put some of that on us.
Insect repellent? Are you crazy? Have you been reading the articles about how toxic insect repellent is? You aren't catching me putting that stuff on my skin, I'll tell you that.
Maybe you're right. Okay. Guess the only safe thing to do is stay indoors from now on.
Indoors? Oh, boy. Haven't you been reading the papers at all, Steve? What about radon and other gases and noxious fumes that they found all over houses lately? That stuff can kill you as sure as the day is long. I wouldn't spend too much time indoors if I were you. And another thing, you stay indoors and you don't get any sun. They've linked all kinds of depression to lack of sun. It's all in the papers.
All right, so from now on we'll hang out on the sun porch. I don't think you can find anything wrong with the sun porch, can you?
Oh, no. I've just read an article recently that mentions how dangerous too much sun can be for you. Causes all kinds of skin diseases. Ha! You won't catch me getting too much sun.
We'll use the sunscreen, you know, suntan lotion.
That's worse than the insect repellent. I guess you just never pick up a newspaper, do you? There are all kinds of toxins and poisons in that stuff. No, Steve, you won't catch me with suntan lotion on.
How about a hat? We'll wear hats. We'll sit on the sun porch all day. That way the insects won't get us. The insect repellent won't get us. The radon won't hurt us. We'll be getting sun so we won't become manic depressives, but not too much sun so we don't get some sort of skin disease.
Oh, that's just great. That's just great. We'll just sit there all day long doing nothing. What about exercise, man? Exercise! Haven't you read the articles about the need for exercise? No exercise means a quick death. Maybe of a heart attack.
Okay. We'll go jogging. That's what we'll do. We'll jog.
Jogging? I can't believe I'm hearing this. Do you know how poisonous gas fumes from cars are? We'll be jogging up and down the road getting poisoned by all the exhaust fumes.
Okay, forget the jogging. We'll exercise in a big field far away from any cars.
Are you crazy? I'm not going to spend any time out in a big field.
Why not?
Insects, man! Insects! Mosquitoes! Ticks! Gypsy moths! You can get very sick being around mosquitoes.
Well, we'll use insect repellent.
Insect repellent? You obviously haven't been reading the...
Just above the Hudson River is a small picnic area on the grounds of the Vanderbilt Mansion National Historic Site in Hyde Park, New York. This is where I'm getting ready to ascend a steep incline to the level of the actual mansion, some 200 feet over a distance of a half mile. I've been training all summer for this, and although I'm not absolutely sure I'm ready, I don't think I can risk waiting any longer. Fall showers and wet leaves tend to make for faulty footing on the asphalt surface of the path, and there was that freak snowstorm in early October last year. I think I've got a pretty good chance today. I left all my non-essential gear in the station wagon when Jill dropped me off. She's waiting for me in the visitor's parking lot at the top. If she doesn't see me in 2 hours, she will begin a search, but until that time, I'm on my own. I've begun my ascent. The picnic area is below me now, and I'm looking at the footbridge over the old New York Central tracks. Last year, there was an incident on the bridge involving a party of Japanese tourists. One of them lost his lens cap, and they had to descend down to the tracks to get it. There were no serious injuries, but it could have been ugly. I'm about a third of the way up the slope. It's heavy going. I've just come out of a wooded area where there were very bad shows. There's a really magnificent view of the rolling meadow below the mansion. I think I'm about halfway now. I'm taking another rest. I met some natives of Hyde Park on the trail a little while ago. They're a cheerful people. They passed some remarks in the local dialect about how fat I am and how I was sweating like a pig. Insolent. It's quite amazing how they scamper up and down these slopes in their boating shoes and plaid pants, but they're born to it. Okay, I'm nearly there. The air is a lot thinner up here. I'm in quite a bit of pain. One of my special mountaineering sneakers is chafing quite a lot, and I'm afraid I'm getting a blister, but I'm just going to press on. I've come all the way up to the level of the parking lot. I still have a half mile to go, but it's flat all the way. I can even see the station wagon. Jill is waiting for me with an iced coffee and a biscuit from McDonald's. Life is good.
Daniel Pinkwater from his bantam book, Fish Whistle. You could tell he's not really much in shape. Well, since this is our nature show, thought I would do a song about the garden. Oh, this is a classic, man. I learned to play the ukulele not too long ago, and us people who pick up the ukulele usually start off with Tiptoe Through the Tulips, which was a hit back in the 1920s, and Tiny Tim redid it. He covered it in the late 60s. It became a huge hit. He played it on a little ukulele. For those of you who don't know who Tiny Tim is, he was a whacked out guy, man. He had long black hair down to his shoulders. He put on makeup. He sometimes wore a cape. And he was not tiny. He was pretty tall and pretty big. And he would sing in a falsetto voice. And I love Tiny Tim. In fact, I was lucky enough to open for him. 3 performances. I followed him around, did the opening act for him. It was really great. I got to know him. He was a really nice, sweet guy. Anyway, he was a novelty act, and I thought I would sing it just the way that he sang it, as a tribute to him.
Tiptoe mistletoe, out your window, out your window. That's where I'll be in tiptoe, through the tulips with me. Oh, tiptoe, by the garden, by the garden, and the willow tree, and tiptoe through the tulips with me. Flowers will stray and will keep the showers away. And if I kiss you in the moonlight, will you pardon me and tiptoe through the tulips with me?
Idea that you could, you know, sing in that high voice like that.
Yeah, well, I did it for Tiny Tim.
I probably could have done a pretty good job myself.
Yo! Oh, Daniel Pinkwater, nice work on that. Yeah, so that ends our nature shows. Ed Cohn doing Nature's Cool, and of course, you know, Harry doing his thing, right? This has been Conversations with My Dummy. I have been your pal, Steve Charney, who puts it all together, writes it all, produces it all, engineers it all. Well, that's what podcasts are all about very often, aren't they? And if you want to find me, all you got to do, or at least find this show, go to Google Play or go to iTunes. So we got a lot of YouTube videos, by the way. Over 100, almost 2 million hits. Maybe by the time you're hearing this, it'll be over 2 million. Who knows? And SteveCharney.com is where you find pretty much everything. You can access everything I do over the years. You know, I've done a lot of songs for Jim Henson and Disney, and I have a lot of CDs and books for sale as well. All find it through the website. Also, my Facebook page, Conversations with My Dummy, Steve and Harry. And go to patreon.com for $1 a month. That would be nice. Patreon.com/Steve Charney. And Harry, you getting ready for the, you know, nature fair?
Yeah, Steve.
Now, you know, if you're going to participate, you have to bring a card table. Then you have to choose a subject. For instance, you may answer questions such as, is the force of adhesion between glue and wood more or less than the force of cohesion in wood? Or perhaps you want to show how gears can be used to change the mechanical advantage and direction of a force. Okay, you have any questions?
Yes, I do, Steve.
What?
What's a card table?